In celebration of the 20th anniversary of the Morro Bay National Estuary Program, we decided to visit with some of the people whose lives are intertwined with the bay and the estuary. Come along and join Rick Algert, former harbor master, as he recalls the past and considers the future of this beautiful bay.
Rick Algert, the harbor director for the city of Morro Bay from 1990 until 2010, and continued working part-time for the city on some grant projects and fisheries up until this year. Thinking back on the Morro Bay National Estuary, takes me back to one of my first contacts in 1990, actually, was a gentleman named Bill Newman and Don Parham came to see me. They came and told me about the Friends of the Estuary and the various work they had done as a volunteer group to try and organize special protection designation for the Morro Bay Estuary. And I have great admiration, especially for those two and the founders of the Friends of the Estuary. They were such a delight to deal with and so positive and so helpful with their information, which isn't always the case when you're a brand new city employee. Working for the city, when I came up here from Santa Barbara in 1990, we started attending the Morro Bay Estuary Task Force meetings that were set up by the county of San Luis Obispo at that time to work on issues in the estuary and potentially toward some kind of special protection or designation for the National Estuary. And that was run by a part-time county employee at the time named Steve Ebrey, very colorful character, and they were really great because it was all across all kinds of normal boundaries and unconventional partnerships. It was conservation folks, retired folks with interest in recreation, commercial interest, county government. So it was a lot of good information. This was long enough ago, and I'm getting old enough, I can't remember the exact details and timing of everything, but I do recall that the first designation we received was the state estuary designation prior to the national estuary. It was a state bill that designated Morro Bay as a state estuary. Didn't have a whole lot of real-world implications. Didn't come with any state funding. Didn't come with any regulatory or management authority, really. But it was an important step along the path that showed, I think, in our applications to the federal government for national estuary designation that certainly the state saw that there was important things to preserve here and people who were really dedicated to the preservation and conservation of this area. Without the state mandate, it's very possible that the federal designation might not have been approved. Once the federal designation comes through, then we're part of a federal program in the Environmental Protection Agency that has funding. And that put in effect an actual administrative group, the National Estuary Program, that started to develop projects to preserve the bay and to enhance the estuarine and upland watershed issues, too, and to work on watershed issues. You have so many cross currents of interest here in the bay, which I'm most familiar with, users, recreational, commercial users, citizens who enjoy just the intrinsic value of having this beautiful asset here, along with all the regulatory agencies that naturally work on water issues. And there are quite a few. But then you go into watershed, bring in ag, bring in a whole another section of local government and other stakeholders. So the work was more difficult, more complicated even. But I think that's one of the things that the estuary program can be most proud of. It is not a regulatory program. It's a program trying to put together projects that can improve the health of the estuary and preserve the quality in this incredible asset that we have. I think on the water side, one of the programs I'm most fond of is a lot of work in trying to learn more about the resources in the bay, such as eelgrass. Very little was known about eelgrass, natural cycles, production, what affects productions, because there is a natural variation, certainly in the eelgrass beds, and they're very important to the health of the bay. The estuary program now has 20 years, at least 15, up to 20 years of documents and research on our eelgrass beds here. We do have watershed issues with some pollutants. We have, obviously, a community that's on the border. You look at other estuaries, and our water quality is excellent. Now, some would probably argue that more could be done, or maybe that's relative, but I think there's things to be done with pollution, but I think siltation was something that I always felt like that could be the end of the habitat that would be natural, because as you fill in the bay, obviously, you're going to change habitat, you're going to change flows, tidal currents, and a lot of the dynamics of the bay. So what we have been able to do, though, I think, is make a lot of improvement in watershed practices. For example, working with the ag industry, working on stream crossings, on best management practices for animals. Lots of good work has been done. We are so blessed to have this here for our enjoyment. And if there's something that I can do to help try to maintain what we have and to try and preserve this incredible habitat here, I'd do almost anything, because it's unfortunately what California used to be 50 years ago. Local government work isn't always the easiest work in the world. It's hard to keep anybody happy sometimes, much less everybody happy. And there was lots of times when there was lots of stress, and I had a wonderful chief harbor patrol officer named Dick Rogers when I started, and I felt that I should be working for him, really. He had grown up here and initially been an abalone diver and then got into the harbor patrol, and I think he must have seen after a couple months that I was probably having a bad day or not sure what to do next, and he said, come with me, and fired up the harbor patrol boat, and we drove out here into the middle of Back Bay, which is outside the city limits, but we often went to rescues there. He stopped in one of the channels as the tide was going out and turned off the motor and ran the boat up on one of the little islands. And he said, you know, sometimes you just got to come out here and see what's going on. We had a little sailing skiff that we kept in Cuesta Inlet back in the days when Sandal was over there and the Baywood Navy. And we often would take that out sailing and sail over to the Sandspit. And it was kind of like a trip to the islands, a little short trip to the islands for them. Every time we'd go out there, whether we were rowing or sailing, because sometimes you just couldn't sail, it seemed like you step foot on that Sandspit and you're sometimes in a place it feels like where nobody's been before. You know, it's really magical. And of course, it's not true. Step on the Sandspit and there's no footprints and it just feels like a wild environment. It's a wonderful place. I feel like the National Estuary Program and the other support groups that are here are in a good spot. They have good community relations. And I think in some ways that, you know, there might be some that think it should have more regulatory power or authority or some. I actually think that was a good choice to work in a voluntary program. I think that we're in a good spot. Obviously, you've got huge environmental issues approaching us with climate change and especially sea level rise. And if you're in the harbor management business, sea level rise is a huge issue for commercial facilities. But then think again how it might affect the estuary and, of course, could solve our siltation problem. But I don't think we're going to be that lucky that those things will work out so well. So I do feel, though, that this community has a really strong infrastructure, good support amongst all these varied partners. There's every reason to think that we might be able to leave this one for our grandkids, and they might be able to stand here and see pretty much the same, tell the same stories.